It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning back, steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone, and Nix makes the catch for the touchdown. He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary.
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20. Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it. They do. Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set. He's back to throw. Finds the pocket. Deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes. Manningham on the sideline. Brady's under pressure. Brady's chased. Brady heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone. A jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
Now here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Lance Meadow.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. It's all presented by Andrew Mark, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Obviously a very disappointing loss for the New York Football Giants yesterday against the Atlanta Falcons. Getting outclassed in every possible way, getting shut out for the first time in quite a while. They lose 34-0. Nothing went right for the Giants all game long. There's a ton to talk about. We will take your calls at 201-939-4513. But Lance, a couple things I want to hit first. One was the symmetry to the game last year in the playoffs, where it seemed like everything that happened to the Giants last year happened to the Falcons this year. The Giants, two fourth down opportunities in the first half. They could not convert. The Falcons making the stops when they have to make them. It was the Falcons making the big plays to their wide receivers, whether it's Harry Douglas, whether it's Julio Jones down the field. The Giants, on the other hand, not connecting on those big plays, not making the plays when they have to. The Falcons had constant pressure on Eli Manning. The Giants, their rush was non-existent against Matt Ryan. Neither team ran the ball particularly well, but the Falcons probably in the first half at least did run the ball more consistently than the Giants did. Put all these things together, it turns into an Atlanta Falcons rout.
And the time of possession disparity, huge in favor of the Falcons. They had the ball for nearly 40 minutes, the Giants just 21 minutes. So Atlanta really dominated, wore down that Giants defense. And you talked about that the Falcons didn't run the ball particularly well, but they did it enough to keep the Giants defense honest, John. And you know what? Matt Ryan, at the end of the day, only had to make 28 passes. And if you look at the game log of Falcons wins and losses, and there haven't been a lot of losses for them, but normally that's a recipe for victory when Ryan does not have to put the ball in harm's way 40 to 50 times. So the game played exactly into the hands of the Falcons offense.
Yeah, in the first half, the Falcons only rushed it 15 times for 42 yards. The Giants rushed it 15 for 88. So you figure Giants huge rushing advantage. But you didn't get the feeling watching the game that the Giants were shutting down the Falcons' run game. You felt like they had to respect it. They had to keep their eyes on Michael Turner, on Jaquizz Rodgers, to stop that run game. And look, all the faults, all of the warts that we talked about with this Giants team over the course of the year that have been hidden by one thing or the other came out and showed themselves on Sunday. And we can go through them all. Carl Banks mentioned this during the broadcast, something we brought up a ton, and you especially, the last couple of weeks. The Giants get a lot of turnovers on defense, and those hide a lot of warts. And more often than not, you can have your occasional great defensive play. Those happen. But a lot of times, turnovers are self-inflicted wounds. So when teams don't make mistakes, the Giants can't get turnovers. The other team continues to march up and down the field. The Giants have not been able to apply consistent pass pressure. I gave the stat to Bob Papa during the game yesterday. Including the game yesterday in the Giants' last five games, Jason Pierre-Paul, Justin Tuck, and O.C. Manura have combined for two sacks, both by O.C. Brutal.
And some of them with three-man rushes only, too.
They were. And the secondary, especially with Prince Amukamara out, if you're not getting constant pass pressure, is simply not good enough to cover guys like Tony Gonzalez, Julio Jones, and Roddy White if the quarterback's sitting there not being harassed. And that's really no hit on the Giants secondary. There's not a secondary in the league that can cover that set of receivers for 5-6 seconds if the quarterback's not getting pressured by the defensive line. That's the bottom line. And without getting those turnovers, you're seeing those warts on the defensive side of the ball come to the forefront.
And here's another thing that's been covered up. Special teams play last week. aided that offense immensely.
Yes.
The average starting field position, the Giants, 48. Well, what happened yesterday, John? They didn't have that average starting field position, so they had to put together drives where they needed to go about 70 to 80 yards. And what happens, the offense gets to a point where, yes, it moves the football, but it eventually stalls, and they're not able to cash in when they get either near the red zone or in the red zone. That's been a big troubling issue throughout the course of this season.
You know, it wasn't my intent to start with the defense because, frankly, to me, the fault of this game sits on the offense.
Absolutely.
The offense was absolutely brutal. And you can't say this very often, but I'll say it today, and I doubt he'll argue with me. Eli Manning played a bad game. 13 of 25, two picks, no touchdowns. Missed Akeem Nicks wide open on the deep post. 39 quarterback rating. Probably played his worst or second worst game of the year. He was bad. Eli Manning was bad. One particular play I'll point out, just to show how off he was. I think it was in the third quarter. He drops back the pass. Wide open. Just 7 yards down the field on the hash mark. Easy pitch and catch. You can make that throw blindfolded. He throws it into the ground for an incomplete pass. He just didn't have it and wasn't very accurate. He didn't make the best decisions. You saw Asante Samuel read his eyes in that first pass of the game. I thought he was late on a lot of passes, not hitting guys as they come out of their cuts, having that extra second or two there for the defense to react, which can be deadly against a reactive defense, an anticipatory defense like the Falcons, like they have back there in the secondary. And the Giants, once again, I know their numbers say they ran the ball pretty well, 21 for 97. I didn't think they ran the ball particularly consistently. I think it was good enough to win. But again, they didn't protect Eli Manning well enough. He was getting hit an awful lot in this game. The offensive line didn't have their best performance. Dominic Hixon played well, but where was Victor Cruz? 3 catches, 15 yards. Hakeem Nicks had 40 yards receiving, 3 catches, but he had 7 targets. 3 catches and 7 targets is not a good percentage. The interception happened on a slant pattern that he ran. He didn't even compete for the football on that play. And obviously, it was a cheap hit on Victor Cruz in that deep post. He also didn't compete for that football. He saw the guy coming and he bailed.
And that was a gift for the Giants because their offense did not look good on that drive had that penalty not been issued.
And granted, dirty play, and in my opinion, he should be suspended for that hit, Chris Hope, because he launched, went for the head.
Completely unnecessary.
It was the book on what you're not supposed to do. Chris Hope did exactly what you're not supposed to do. And it was a cheap hit, but again, Victor Cruz, you're going to get hit anyway. Try to catch the football, you know what I mean? So that was a problem. Like I said, pass protection, a problem. Dominic Hixon played a good game. Martellus Bennett wasn't involved at all. After having such a big game last week, get Martellus Bennett the ball a little bit.
I think Eli Manning resorted back, John, to that home run mentality, which is, let me look down the field to my receivers as opposed to dumping it off to my tight end, getting it to my fullback or my running backs, and that maybe hurt the offense a bit. And also pass protection, as you just alluded to, Manning, more often than not, had a defender right in his vicinity. And probably the perfect example, John, second play of the game, David Wilson gets bulldozed.
Yeah.
And he collides with Manning as well as the defender. Yeah. What does that lead to? A turnover. And that gave Atlanta gifts. Two of their drives right from the start of the game started at the Giants 16. 4 plays later, Michael Turner, 1 yard touchdown. And then the other drive started at the Giants 27. They wound up settling for a field goal, but that's 10 points off of 2 interceptions.
Yep.
In which the Giants gave Atlanta the football deep in Giants territory.
In the second half, the defense fell apart a little bit. The Falcons had drives of 80 yards, 73 yards, 69 yards, excuse me. But in the first half, you're right, Lance, 16-yard touchdown drive, an 8-yard field goal drive. The defense did its job for the most part in that first half, but the offense couldn't put any points on the board whatsoever. 201-939-4513. A couple of you guys dropped off already. Feel free to call back. Lance, I like to kind of go through the game early in the show, see what's going on, and give our opinion, and now we'll happily get yours and be the Giants therapy hotline at 201-939-4513. Let's start with our good pal, Drew, down in Virginia. Drew, good morning, pal. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, Lance, John.
How are we doing, Drew?
First things first, man. One of the things I want to say is, you know, now the Giants find themselves in third place. I know they're tied, but they're basically in third place.
Yep.
And the one thing that I really want to point out to, and I said this when it happened, is the game that's coming back to haunt us now is that Philadelphia game.
Yep.
Where we had the game in hand. Eli makes a bad decision, throws a pass. We get called for offensive pass interference. Game over, history. If he doesn't throw that crazy pass, and I said this before, all we got to do is just run the ball. We can kick a field goal. We leave out of there with a win. So that's the game right there that I can point to that's going to hurt us in the long run. The other thing, though, I didn't see the game yesterday. Like I said, I'm in Redskin country.
Right.
But, I understand that, the Giants is going to lose. There's very few teams that's going to go 16-0. I get it. There's going to be some losses. But it's the way the Giants is losing. They don't match the intensity of the other team. And I hate to say, but I'm starting to question the work ethic of this team at times. I just see it. It's just not there. They just are not intense. And to go into Atlanta yesterday and to get shut out like that is just utterly ridiculous. And to me, it just shows that. And that focus. I mean, how do you miss that field goal down there? This team is just not focused. And now that Philadelphia game is going to come back to bite them. And to be honest, the way this team is playing, I kind of hate to say it, but they're going to have to match first and foremost the intensity of the Ravens, who are not going to be a happy camper.
No.
Then
yeah.
Once again, we got another divisional game.
Hey, Drew, what I would say is that I think it was pretty clear early on in that game that the Falcons were pretty pumped up for this ball game. They considered it a statement game for them to come down and beat the Giants. They wanted some payback for the playoffs. And quite frankly, they probably got tired of people in the media saying the Falcons weren't for real. And they wanted to show them, no. Watch what we're going to do to the defending Super Bowl champions. And there's no doubt about it that, and Drew, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it, that the Falcons were the more physical team early on in this game. They won the battle at the line of scrimmage. And we've talked about it a bunch on the air this year, Lance. The Giants won the Super Bowl last year and went on their run because they would win the battle at the line of scrimmage, whether it was protecting Eli Manning. And they even ran the ball a little bit better the final six games of last year. And, of course, stopping the run and getting after the passer. This team's not doing it.
Yeah, those elements are going to have to come to the forefront in these final two games if the Giants really want to put together that type of run this season. And, speaking of the Ravens coming off a bad loss to the Denver Broncos in which Joe Flacco and company were careless with the football. They also had a couple of injuries. And this team lost three games in a row for the first time in forever. They are going to be hungry. They are going to be in front of their home crowd. This is going to be a very tough game. Plus, let's not forget, Baltimore has not wrapped up its division. It clinched a playoff spot, but it's still fighting off Cincy and Pittsburgh to see if it can get one of the top four seeds.
And Pittsburgh doesn't look great right now, but Cincinnati's playing some pretty good football. They're dangerous. Like you mentioned, Pittsburgh, obviously, Ben Roethlisberger's there. They have their two big wide receivers. They're actually pretty healthy on defense for the first time in a while.
Without Ike Taylor, I think that's hurt a bit. But for the most part, they've gotten Polamalu and some of the other guys.
How often is Harrison and Polamalu on the field at the same time? It doesn't happen all that often these days. Both guys getting up there in years. But, look, the Giants have put themselves in a bad scenario. And this is a point that Lance and I have made a number of times over the years, in that the Giants put themselves in these situations where they risk it all because they don't come out and play consistent football. And I think that was another point that Drew tried to make, Lance. The Giants don't simply come out and play their A game every week. Obviously, it's not going to happen every week where you play your A game. But you can't have zero games this many times in the year. They had a zero game against Cincinnati where they got their doors blown off. And now they had a zero game against the Falcons. You can't have two of those in one year where you just throw away the film and say, whatever, we had one of those games. The Giants, no. If you're going to play inconsistent football and you're going to put yourselves in holes, you can't afford losses like this. Now, granted, they still control their own destiny in terms of the wild card, but they no longer control their destiny now in terms of the division. And people are going to say, it's just like last year, same spot, win your final two, make a run to the Super Bowl, that's great. Well, you know what? You're going to Baltimore to play the Ravens. You're not playing the hapless Jets at MetLife Stadium, okay? Big, big difference.
Yeah, bird hunting season, not as easy as maybe Mike from New Jersey laid out a couple of days ago prior to the contest against the Falcons. And here's just two differences before we get back to the calls, and maybe Mike is on the line, so he'll be able to comment on that. But I just want to point out two differences that stand out to me, and you hinted at this, John. The pass rush was evident last season during the run. Yep. The pass rush is not evident this season. Here's another difference.
And no one's getting healthy.
Yeah, well, that's another thing. You don't have a savior coming out of the woodworks to all of a sudden ignite this defense. because every one of your pass rushers has been out there
I know.
Since week one.
It's a big problem.
You know, OC's healthy. JPP's out there. Justin Tuck's out there. You can't point to that as an excuse. But here's another factor that, you know, we get calls from Len in Maryland every week. And what does he ask, John? He goes, is Eli Manning going to be in uniform on Sunday? And the answer is yes. So that means the Giants are sitting pretty. They're fine. And I'm referring to every caller that's on the line, by the way. And I didn't look at the page either. But the point I'm bringing up is I think there's a little bit of a change this season. There are games that now you can't always feel Eli Manning's going to pull out a fourth quarter comeback out of his pocket. It's just not there. He's not been in sync with his receivers this season. Something's a tad off. And, John, you've pointed this out each and every week. You laid out the targets to Akeem Nicks. If you're not even hauling in 50% of the throws that Eli Manning is throwing your way, that's a problem.
And it feels like it's that way every single week. Every single weekend. Look at Eli Manning's stats for the year. Sure, they look okay. He's thrown for 3,500 yards, nearly 3,600. But 20 touchdowns and 17 interceptions is not a good number for this time of the year. You figure he'd be closing in on 30 TDs at this point and not have 15 picks. And his completion percentage is almost under 60%. In this day and age, for a quarterback's completion percentage to be under 60%, it's not good. Granted, the Giants throw the ball down the field a lot more than other teams, and I understand that's going to lower your completion percentage, and I understand that, and I respect that, but it's still not a good number. And the other thing I'll point out before we get right back to the calls, and I'll get to you in a second, I promise, the Akeem Nicks injury to me has been the X factor all year on this team. You don't have that second big play wide receiver to stretch the field and take the attention off of Victor Cruz. It's going to kill your offense. And I think you saw two perfect examples of that in the game against the Falcons. If Akeem Nicks is 100% healthy and has two good wheels, he catches up to that deep post play. He scores a touchdown.
He was ahead of the defense.
Later on in the game, I think he was going up against Samuel. It could have been Dunter Robinson. I don't remember. Actually, I think it was Robinson now that I mention it. He ran that slant or skinny post on Robinson. Robinson tried to jump in front, dive, and knock the ball down. He didn't. Nicks gets caught on the ankle, and he goes down. Last year, he runs through that tackle with two good wheels. He gets into the open field, and maybe he's gone 60, 70 yards for the touchdown. Without those explosive plays, this Giants offense has not been the same.
And one other one. I know we want to get to the calls. Just want to throw out another example, and this is maybe in defense of Akeem Nicks. There was a pass that Manning threw to him left sideline. High throw. I know Bob Papa pointed out that Nicks didn't do a good job of getting both feet in, but to me that was a very difficult catch.
It should have been an easier catch.
To get and then haul in and keep both feet. So they're clearly not on the same page, and we've just laid out multiple examples.
And another Eli Manning pass, he threw it, I'm trying to think who he threw it high. I think Martellus Bennett was wide open on a play on the sideline, or maybe it was Hickson. I don't quite remember, but Manning just airmailed it right over his head. He's just not throwing the ball extremely well right now. 201-939-4513, the aforementioned Mike in North Bergen, New Jersey. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's happening, pal?
Hey, man, just first and foremost, want to send my condolences out to all the families that lost, you know, lost their loved ones, man. Just very unfortunate.
No doubt about it.
We echo those sentiments.
Yeah, man, and, you know, just, you know, yesterday, I mean, I don't even know where to start. You know, it was lonely at the top for a couple of weeks, and then in a blink of an eye, fellas, here we go. Now we're on the outside looking in.
Three's company, baby.
Yeah, and, I mean, what can I say? I mean, let's start off with that offense. I mean, you know, I didn't think Bradshaw missing the game was going to be too key, but, I mean, I think the game would have went a little bit different if he would have been playing. All those third and short, fourth and short situations, I think it would have been a little bit different. We would have been picking up the blitz a little bit better. I don't know, man. I mean, I don't want to give us any excuses. I was yapping away all last week saying, yeah, we're going to eat these birds and everything. And unfortunately, now I got the stomach virus eating that poisonous bird.
All right, Mike. Appreciate the call. All right, Mike. Thanks, man. We appreciate it. Sorry for cutting you off there. Look, he's right. And I don't know if Bradshaw would have made a difference. The guy I think could have made a difference yesterday, honestly, was Prince. You know, you lose one of your top corners. Not that Hosley got abused by any means, but Julio Jones did eat him up on a couple of deep passes. It happens. And of course, Harry Douglas decided to make an appearance this year.
We told you that.
If you listen to Big Blue Kickoff Live, you know Harry Douglas is a weapon, folks. But look, I mean, there's no excuses here. You could add everybody healthy from this year, last year, and the year before. The way the Falcons smacked the Giants around yesterday, it would have made a difference.
But despite all of those defensive injuries, John, it gets back to the point that we talked about earlier on the show. Yeah. This game was still on the offense.
Yep, no question.
So unless you're going to tell me that they were missing 10 different offensive players, I'm not buying it. That's why I know Prince would have made somewhat of an impact, but maybe they would have lost 21-0, not 34-0.
And frankly, we always get on the running game for not doing a good enough job. The lack of a running game was not the reason the Giants lost this game. We mentioned in the first half, the Giants ran the ball pretty well in this contest. If I can find the numbers here. Here we go. In the first half, they combined 15 rushes, 88 yards for a 5.9 average. That's darn good. David Wilson, 8 for 46. Granted, 25 of those came one long run, but that's fine. That's going to happen. 8 for 46, and Lumpkin was 7 of 42, running a lot of those draw plays out of the shotgun formation. So the running game was fine, folks. This, I hate to say it, this game's on Eli Manning in the passing game.
They finished with 97 total yards on the ground. The only thing that I'll be critical about the running backs is pass protection. And that's why I think Lumpkin was in more often than not.
I thought Lumpkin did okay. I think David Wilson's the guy you gotta worry about.
Now you're seeing what we talked about earlier in the season. And I know a lot of people were excited about David Wilson, and Kevin Gilbride urged the media, simmer down a bit. Why? Because of the fact that David Wilson still has room for improvement in pass protection. Bradshaw's out there. They're probably going to lean on him a little bit more in some of those passing situations. That's why Wilson was pulled and they went to Lumpkin, because they went with the veteran presence who's had more experience in that department.
Now, let's going to welcome in 201-939-4513, Len in Maryland, who provided an interesting portion of Friday's program. Len,
yes.
Good morning.
Spice
How are you,
things
pal?
Up.
Good morning. Good morning. Listen, as the previous caller said, it's hard to get too upset about this one with following what happened in Connecticut. But I thought you guys, did a good job in, analyzing the game or spelling out what happened in the game at the beginning there. I mean, it was like I was reading the newspaper. There was one thing I think you need perhaps to spend a little more time on.
What's that?
This team was just not ready yesterday. I don't think they were ready physically. You know, we had some guys hurt. They weren't. I don't think they were ready mentally or emotionally to play this game.
No, but Len, you know what, though? I think if there's one guy you got to point to, and I will never – look, if you want to break down this game, and you're still there, we're not cutting you off. Eli Manning played poorly. That's the reason the Giants lost this game. It started with his turnovers in the first half. He finished the game with brutal statistics. He did not play well. And I will never – you know, you can say whatever you want about Eli Manning and he has bad games. The one thing you can never say about him is that he's not mentally up or ready for the game, or he's not prepared. So I don't know why he didn't play well, but I don't think it has anything to do with his effort, preparation, or emotional readiness for this game against the Falcons. You know what I mean?
Well, I'll go along with you. He did not have a good game yesterday. There's no way we can defend the way he played yesterday. Absolutely. The only thing positive I can say about him, you've heard me say this before, the real good news about Eli is that he's our Eli.
Right.
He'll line up there next Sunday. Now, I just think there's a little fragility to this team emotionally and mentally at this point. I'm not sure what it was. I can't, what it is. I can't put my finger on it. But they got punched in the nose yesterday, and they ran for the bus.
But, Len, you know what?
The Ravens are going to look at that game film yesterday, and what they're going to take away from that game film is what the Ravens' strength, which is we're going to punch you in the nose early and often.
They do.
Guys, if we don't punch back early, it's going to be another 34-0 game. I'm exaggerating, obviously. But this is going to be physical. We better be ready to play this ball game, or we're going to get embarrassed out there.
You know, in 2007, one of the Giant models was resiliency. And I think Len does have a point, Lance. You haven't seen the best resiliency from this team this year. But more important, this is what you always say, this team's Jekyll and Hyde.
Absolutely. That is my favorite line.
Yes.
So I appreciate you taking one out of my playbook. But Len just mentioned that this team is fragile. Let's not forget, this is the same team that beat up the San Francisco 49ers.
And the Packers.
And beat up the Green Bay Packers and put 52 up on the Saints. Yes, their defense is not nearly as impressive as the Niners and the Packers, but that's what's so mind-boggling about this team. They have risen to the occasion on other times this season. So why all of a sudden come out so flat when the motivation was laying right in front of them? They were going up against the top team in the NFC. They were going up against the team that they may see again in the playoffs. They were going up against the team that clearly is going to be one of their top competitors that has a lot of talent. What else did they need to come out and play strong from the start?
And all we heard all week, we know Dallas and Washington are breathing down our necks in the division. This is an important game. We know we got to go out and we got to win it.
Well, the bottom line is they didn't come out, guys. They didn't come out and play it hard.
Yeah,
I guess that's maybe the point I was trying to make.
Right.
That was very disappointing yesterday. I'm sure everybody on the line will probably agree with the same thing. That was just a big letdown. That must have been some plane ride home last night, guys.
It was quiet.
I don't know what they were thinking as individuals when they were sitting there in their chairs. If I were the coaches, I'd say see you Wednesday morning. You know, unless you're injured, come on in and get treatment. But I'd say, look, get out of here. I'll see you Wednesday morning. That it's time for these coaches to stop with the, a couple of these guys are China dolls. Come on, let's go. Let's toughen up, guys. And I think this kind of a front to this team and this organization. It doesn't exude toughness. I think we've got to start talking to these guys and say, come on. They better realize that they've been together since July. This season's going down the drain. We blew a three-game lead in five games. A three-game lead in six games. I mean, come on, guys. I mean, somebody's got to stand up and say, what the heck is going on around here? And, of course, now maybe I don't know what's going on in Timex Center. You guys probably have a better feel for it. But I tell you, I wouldn't be talking to these guys too positively today or tomorrow. I would have given them off till Wednesday and saying, get your head straight and get back in here and let's play football.
All right, Len, I appreciate the call, man.
Okay, buddy.
You have
Thanks
a good
a
one. Appreciate it. But the maddening thing is, you know, you can say that they didn't play hard, they're not tough, they're not ready, they need to toughen up, that's fine. Would you be shocked if next week the Giants went down to Baltimore and won that game 31-17?
The up and down theme
dominated
could very well
for
continue.
Three quarters. I would not be surprised by
not
that at all.
That's just how this team performs. They never make it easy on their fans. They never make it easy on the coaching staff. That's the Giants' mantra.
That's football, Lance. You just can't figure it.
That pretty much sums it up. You're right, though. I mean, I could see them pulling a 180 next week, going into Baltimore, and putting together a performance like they did against the Niners and the Packers.
Take advantage of the Ravens' struggling run defense. David Wilson gets a couple big plays. A million different things can happen. But the problem is, even if you do come out and you play your hardest and you come out and bring your A game, the Ravens at home are a good enough team to still beat you. And that's why you've put yourself – and the Ravens aren't a vintage Ravens team where I think they're Super Bowl contenders. I don't think they are this year. They've lost three in a row, like you mentioned. That being said, you've put yourself in a position here with no – now you have zero margin of error. You're not behind, but you're not ahead either. You got to win out if you want to make the playoffs. Now, can you still make the playoffs if you split the final two games? Yeah. We can't go through all the scenarios. There's too many of them to break them all down. But if the Giants split, they need help. And they need – what I would term a substantial amount of help if they split these final two games. If you win out, you're still the wild card, but your margin of error, pop, gone.
You have the Vikings, you have the Bears in the mix, and the Cowboys and the Redskins. Whoever loses that final game of the regular season could very well be in contention for a wild card as well.
And the Seahawks, too. Don't
Correct.
Forget
well,
that.
Seattle, I think, has just about solidified a spot. I wouldn't really be worried about them falling out all of a sudden.
Well, Seahawks could lose next week to the 49ers. That's a possibility.
They finish up against the Rams, but two games at home, John, I think
home
that
game,
really sets up nicely for
home
them.
Home game against the Rams, you figure it's one they're going to win. Seahawks, driver's seat. They're probably in the best shape. I would agree with that. But good win by the 49ers last night, by the way. You thought they might have blown that lead, and you figure all the momentum's going the other way, and then they had that big play down the sideline. So we'll see what happens moving forward. We'll get back to your calls. We're going to try to a little past 10 already, folks. The lines are all jammed up. If you're calling and it's busy, keep trying to call back. I'm going to try to run through these calls a little bit quicker now as we move forward in the show, okay? Dominic in Pennsylvania, good morning. What's on your mind?
Well, first of all, when I look at the game, I looked at the fact that, how in union these players play. And it just seemed like every individual on defense was just, not on the same page. Like, it's just, I don't know if it's lack of communication, but everybody was definitely not on the same page. And we had a lack of speed on defense. And I know you guys will probably disagree with me, but I think yesterday, I got to question some of the play calling. I'll be careful to say, to not point the finger at Gilbride or Manning, but I just think on some of the plays you have, Lumpkin is his name.
Yeah.
Running, you have him running to the outside. outside, but then you have Wilson running on the inside. And to me, that seems that it should be reciprocated on some of them plays. And with fourth and one, you know, we went for, fourth and one, and a 4-2. I think the 2-4 and ones, we probably should have kicked the field goal. We definitely should have got some points on the board.
You could make the argument. You could make the argument early. You could make the argument early in the game that you want to get points on the board on those fourth and ones. But frankly, and Coach Coughlin said this in his post-game press conference, he got to the point where he felt like the team needed some type of momentum shift, some type of burst, some type of pop to get them back into the game. So I guess his sense on the sideline was that the sideline was pretty down, and the confidence and the energy was also down because of the way the game began, and he thought they needed a spark, especially after Lawrence Tynes already missed the field goal earlier in the game, to get the team going, make a big play here. Let's get back into the game emotionally, and I think that's why he went for it on fourth down.
Plus, Dominic, there's enough talent on this team that it's not asking much to pick up 1 yard on 2 fourth-down plays. So I don't really criticize Tom Coughlin for making that decision. The fourth and one that they faced, they were already down 17-0. But, John, you get a touchdown in that situation. You head potentially into the locker room now down 10 points. A lot of momentum perhaps swings your way. And then you look at the latter two choices to go for it. It was a 4th-and-1. Manning rolled right, and this has nothing to do with the play calling. This is more of Manning's decision. He tried to get a pass to Cruz. It was low, when probably the smart thing would have been take it yourself with your legs. I know he's not a run-friendly quarterback, but you know what?
Pick up
the 1 yard or two, get the first down, move the chains, and give yourself some signs of life to continue the drive.
Again, it's a matter of execution, in my opinion. Not play calling. You saw Eli Manning have open players all over the field yesterday. He missed them. Or he tried to go down the field instead of going to Martellus Bennett, who was wide open a number of times in the middle of the field for short games. And Eli Manning tried to make other plays down the field.
Speaking of Lawrence Tynes, I know you had talked about the fact that he missed that chip shot from 30 yards out.
3-3 games now, right? Misses?
Bad trend to have, especially when he's been so good this season, so reliable. This is a question on Twitter related to that from our good friend Saraceno at SJS0816. Anyone concerned about Tynes missing a field goal in 3 consecutive games? Philly game wasn't a very long field goal either, but keep in mind the Philly game was a little bit out of his range, and Ramsey's Barden doesn't commit that penalty. Lawrence Tynes is in a much better position to win that game, and we had a caller earlier bring that up. I believe Drew in Virginia was talking about that Philly game may come back to cost them. Overall, is there concern? I mean, it's never good when your kicker is not playing his best field goal kicking duties down the stretch here, but I think that Lawrence Tynes has been reliable. He's got a great resume. I don't think the Giants are overly concerned. You just hope that they work out whatever issues they have now, because that was a gimme. And
yeah.
I'm not saying that would have all of a sudden changed the momentum of the game, but you want to be able to convert when you have opportunities. You want to have points on the board and not have missed opportunities.
And there is a confidence factor when it comes to kickers as well. And once you start missing them, you know, you get a little momentum going. One thing bad happens, another thing happens on top of that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's something you really got to look out for. 201-939-4513. Mike's in Staten Island. What's going on, Mike? How are you? Mike, you there, pal? Hello, Mike. All right, looks like we lost Mike there. 201-939-4513. Let's try Jamal down in New Mexico. It's early in New Mexico. Jamal, how are you?
Yes, sir. How y'all doing?
Doing great.
I got a few things.
Sure.
Can you explain why on the fourth and ones and third and shorts, why we didn't utilize Hanoski enough with the fullback in there, blocking for Lumpkin or Wilson? I think it was 3 out of the 4 downs. I think it was one was a pass, and 2 of them was just Lumpkin running to the outside. Why wasn't Hanoski in to block for the running back?
I guess Hanoski, now that I think about it, I guess both those runs were single-back sets, were they?
Yeah, I don't understand that.
I didn't think about that.
4th and 1, you don't use a fullback?
It's not a bad point, and, you know, Hanoski has done, he had some struggles early last year, but since then, especially this season, he's done an excellent job leading the way. You know what? I wish I had a better answer for you, Jamal. I don't know why Hanoski wasn't in the game.
Just watching the game, like, you're going to run that outside zone play with Lumpkin on 4th and 1? I guess, like I said, it's a questionable call. You mentioned how Martellus Bennett was open underneath a lot. And I feel like the teams we play, when they play us, our receivers aggressive, Cruz, Knicks, when they play us aggressive, when they jumping our routes,
the only one that seemed like they were breaking from their original route was Nixon, and that's why he was getting open and getting passes, because the Falcons DB seemed like they were jumping the first route we gave them. The first route we gave them, they were jumping, and I don't understand why everybody else wasn't breaking off to be able to get some extra wiggle room to get open.
Hey, look, Hickson's a very good, smart receiver. That's why he's on the team. Him and Eli Manning have good communication. They're on the same page more times than not. And I think the issue you have with Victor Cruz is that, again, you saw a lot of double teams, whether it was bracket coverage, safety over the top. They make people beat you with other receivers. And Hickson was able to do it. We already talked about Akeem Nix earlier in the show. With the leg problem, and then, of course, Martellus Bennett, like we said, wasn't targeted enough. Jamal, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate it. 201-939-4513.
Just looking over the game log from the point that he was bringing up why Heinoski wasn't in, it was this late in the second quarter. They're down 17-0, so they had it second and two from the Atlanta 33. They ran it with Lumpkin for no gain. Then on third and two, ran a draw to Lumpkin. He picked up a yard.
That was out of the shotgun, if I'm
correct.
Not mistaken.
And then fourth and one from the Atlanta 32, Wilson runs to the left side and then is just completely bottled up for no gain. So there was not much penetration that the offensive line was able to create all by itself. So that's a valid point as to maybe putting a fullback in to maybe create a slight hole to perhaps pick up that extra yardage to keep that drive going, because those circumstances really hurt the Giants. They're able to score in that situation. Who knows perhaps how this game changes. I mean, you make it 17-7 heading into the locker room, you have a lot more confidence heading into the third quarter than you did given the circumstances.
And going back to the point, I think it was Dominic in Pennsylvania made it, why you're running Lumpkin outside and Wilson inside. Well, it gets back to the fact that you can't trust David Wilson in there on third down. So it limits the type of plays you're going to call for him. Now, again, can you still run a couple of draw plays, a couple of pitch plays? Sure. But David Wilson, while he's a really fast running back, he's powerful, too. He's thick. He's got, like, really big, you know, Maurice Jones-Drew-esque thighs. He can, you know, he's got thick legs. He can run through tackles. He's not a weak running back. He's strong. He's powerful. Not to the extent that Maurice Jones-Drew is, but he's not that far off, to be honest with you. And you can run him all over the place.
And sometimes you want to catch a defense off guard, so it doesn't hurt to be a little creative and maybe put a running back in a position where he doesn't normally succeed, whereas I understand Lumpkin is better suitable for the inside, Wilson the outside. No harm in changing things up. You want to keep a defense on its toes, and you want to try to be creative to maybe perhaps get some chunks of yardage if the defense wasn't expecting a certain running back to run that route.
201-939-4513. Martin's in Manhattan. Good morning, Martin. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. I'm going to refresh your memory. When I called last time, I vented. I think we lost against Cincinnati.
Okay.
And I told you I was a big Egypt guy. And why isn't Ramses Barton in there?
That's right.
You remember me?
I do.
Okay. So we're going back to that.
Uh-oh.
All right. Now, how come, I mean, ever since that game, and you just brought it up, when Ramses did that penalty, when we lost, what was it, against Dallas? Whatever?
No, it was against the Eagles when he had that offensive pass interference. Yeah.
He has not been in since that game.
Okay, but Dominic Hickson came back during that period of time since that game.
That's
so
true.
You have your
That's
third
true.
Receiver back.
And he played well.
So where are you putting Ramses Barton?
Yeah, but see, my point is this. It's like back when we had Earth, Wind, and Fire, I think we need to do some type of, you know, moving around with the wide receivers, you know, Take Hickson out one time and put Ramses in, because you know what? We're missing a lot of opportunities. And I hate to say that, but the whole point of the matter is we shouldn't have lost against, you know, Washington, because I went to that game. Tynes missed that field goal, you know what I mean? And then we shouldn't have lost yesterday. Not only just lost, because, I mean, Atlanta has a nice record. They got the, you know, best record or whatever. But the whole point of the matter is, we got a donut, and I'm eating it right now with my coffee. You know what I mean?
Well,
it's not tasting good.
But Martin,
it's really not tasting
Martin,
good.
Let me pose this other question to you. And I understand you want to try to get creative, and you think maybe they can have somebody on the bench save this offense. But if Eli Manning is having trouble feeding the ball to Hickson, Nix, and Cruz, what makes you think that all of a sudden Barton being inserted into the lineup, Manning is going to be on the same page with him? If it's not translating to your three top receivers.
I'm glad you said that. I'll give you a prime example right now. Wilson, not yesterday's game, but the game before that. You know, Wilson was sitting on the bench. Ahmad was in there.
Well, but that's a running back, though. Manning doesn't have to. All he has to do is hand him the football. I'm talking about a receiver running a route.
He did the kick returns. You know, he got the opportunity. You know what I mean? Sometimes that's all we need. We need an opportunity. And I got to put some of the blame on Coach Coughlin. I mean, I have to. You know what I mean? Because just like you guys got them saying, it was some play calling. And also, it just I'm really frustrated right now because I love my Giants. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But after every game, after every mishap, it's the same thing from Eli. Oh, well, we got two more games, and, you know, we just got – no, we had to win all these games. We should have lost against the Redskins. We had to win all these games. So we got blown out 34 to nothing. The Super Bowl champions, 34 to nothing? Are you kidding me?
No, and you're right. This was an unacceptable loss against a team in your conference that was trying to make a statement on their way to the playoffs, and thank you very much for the call. I think then your call there hit the nail right on the head. This is an unacceptable performance in a spot where the Giants needed a win to maintain their lead in the division so you get a home playoff game. It was very similar to the game the Giants played against Washington in week number 15 last year when they, frankly, played just as poorly. And Rex Grossman marched up and down the field all game long. I'm trying to think of the running back's name that ran the – Roy Helu ran the ball all over him in that game. Santana, you know, all those guys, you know, Fred Davis is running around too. Well, actually, he was hurt in that game. Fred Davis in the first game
last year
did
well.
Santana
Moss, though,
Santana Moss that had the big game in that game. But you were able to come out of that hole last year and make your run. But that's not going to happen every year. If you put yourself in this position, eventually it's going to bite you in the butt. Remember how Giant fans called up Lance and were all mad? It's not fair. We're 10-6. We didn't make the playoffs. You know, blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what? Now, you're lucky if you're going to finish 10-6. And you put yourself in this position where you have to win these last two games. It's the NFL. It's not that easy. You can't count on things like that. If you have opportunity to win games, you got to win them. And the Giants did not even give themselves a chance to win that game against the Atlanta Falcons.
The Giants can't feel that they were so comfortable a couple of weeks ago. And I know Len mentioned that they blew a three-game lead with the last six contests. But this is a tough division, and Giants fans should know that. You know, you go against your divisional foes, you throw out the records. That's why that Eagles game, Week 17, I got news for you, Giants fans. That's not going to be any easy walk in the park. That's going to be a hungry Philly team that if they know they have an opportunity to spoil things for the Giants, Philly's going to bring its A-game. Don't be surprised if that game is really close if it comes down to the wire for the Giants to need to win that last week to all of a sudden sneak into the playoffs. That game scares me, to be honest with you, more so than the Ravens game next week.
I know what you're saying, and the Eagles are playing a little bit better, but Lance, they're not a good football team right now.
But sometimes those are the most dangerous teams, John.
And they have nothing to play for. I get it. They can be dangerous. Maybe LeSean McCoy's back by then. Who knows? They haven't IR'd him yet.
Nick Foles has been improving.
He has been, but I don't want to look that far ahead. The Eagles are pretty terrible.
They are. And listen, their defense has been abysmal. That wide nine certainly has seen its better days. I understand that.
Well, he's gone. The wide nine, there's
some semblance of it. Maybe the wide eight or the wide seven now, whatever you want to call
it. Well, it honestly seems like they're playing with like seven fewer players on the field the way they're going here. Anyway, 201-939-4513. Let's go to Pete in Pennsylvania. Pete, welcome back. How are you, pal?
Hey, yeah, this is Pete in Pennsylvania trying to be a constant Giant fan, which is very, 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 very difficult.
Well, you guys are Super Bowl champions, Pete. It hasn't been all bad.
Let's look at what the Giants got. Okay?
Sure.
They got Bradshaw. Time for him to go. He's got too many physical problems.
All right.
Let's look at Eli. Okay? Eli, are you with me?
I'm with you, Pete. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, Pete, are you there?
Hey, Pete. What you got? Continue.
Pete? Oh, no. It looks like we might have lost Pete there. Hopefully we're not having a replay of that issue we had last week. We don't know. But let's put Pete on hold here. Hey, Pete, if you're still there, hopefully you're still there, Pete. I'm going to put you back on the air here. Just make your point. You might not be able to hear us. Just make your point, and then we'll comment off the air, all right? So, Pete, go ahead.
I'm looking at the Giants as a whole, okay?
Uh-huh.
Running game, I wouldn't consider very good. Bradshaw is a big question mark. Matter of fact, I think about getting rid of him next year. He's got too many physical problems.
Okay.
Let's look at Eli. Eli will never be a Breeze. He'll never be a Brady. He'll never be a Roethlisberger, and he'll never, never be his brother. Okay? Eli is only good when he can sit in the pocket for 5 minutes without any pressure and throw a pass. When he's got pressure, he just heaves the ball. Oh, you just watch him. He, of course, I don't think wants to take a hit.
All right, Pete.
As far as the Giant players, yeah, they got some decent players. But on a whole, every Sunday you got to say to yourself, which Giant team is going to take the field? The
valid
one that
point.
Plays like professionals
That's
or the
fair.
Ones that
yeah.
stink?
It's true.
I watched them play the Bengal game, which was a disaster. Yes, the Falcon game was a disaster. You know, it's like what what's his name was saying, Strahan, Giants are sleepwalking. And another problem with the Giants don't pick up any players. Okay, look at the free agency every year. Who do they get? There's a lot of good players out there. Giants pick up no one. The reason? Giants don't want to pay any money.
Pete, hold on a second. And thanks a lot for the call. There's a salary cap in the NFL. You can only spend so much money.
It's not free spending season.
No,
yet.
It's not like you're in Major League Baseball where you're the Dodgers. You can pay anything you want to anybody out there. That's not the way this works. The Giants have a lot of money committed to players already on the roster. And quite frankly, and Lance and I have talked about this a bunch, you have a lot of guys coming down the pipe here that you're going to have to pay. You got to pay Akeem Nicks. You're going to have to pay Victor Cruz. You're going to have to pay Jason Pierre-Paul. All right? Those are three big guys that you're going to have to pay. Quite frankly, you're going to have to pay William Beatty. Starting left tackles in this league don't come cheap. And say what you want about him. He stayed healthy this year, and he's protected Eli Manning. How many times have you seen right ends of opposing teams abuse, push William Beatty around, and sack Eli Manning? It hasn't happened. He's done a pretty darn good job. So those are four guys you're going to have to pay.
You have to take care of your own.
All right?
So that how much flexibility does that leave you to go out and bring in big names? And remember, big-name free agents in the NFL don't always work out. They're attractive options, but just because you bring them in doesn't mean it's all of a sudden going to translate into W's. Look at the Eagles, for example.
Three big free agents the Giants brought in helped them win a Super Bowl last year. Boley, Roll, Canty. Without those three guys, the Giants do not win the Super Bowl. And how'd that Stevie Brown signing work out this offseason, by the way, with his 7 interceptions? Pretty good.
And not a huge investment.
No.
You can get some diamonds in the rough, as we like to say, in free agency if you utilize your scouting services and try to find guys that maybe you missed out on through the draft or you missed out initially through free agency.
And not to mention Martellus Bennett, another free agent signing that's worked out pretty darn well for this team as well.
And only a one-year deal, give him an opportunity to prove himself, determine whether or not you now want to re-sign him, or maybe bring in another tight end to help fill the void. So you have some flexibility, at least in that department. Real quickly, speaking of free agency, John, before we get back to the lines, Marcus Erickson.
Oh, we got
speaking
a tweet.
Speaking of Ramsey's Barden and working him in, as Martin likes to lay out.
Did you like how I let you handle that and just didn't even comment
yes.
on it,
by I know, you behaved yourself very well.
Thank you.
I was expecting a little bit more of an explosion on a Monday morning.
Honestly,
but I commend you.
I thought you handled it pretty well. I thought you tried to be logical with the man. But I decided to lay low and not lose my temper.
And I'll be honest with you, I'm even losing my patience a little with
you
this
are.
Ramsey's
I can tell.
Barden
you,
topic. It
you
may
look
be
very
bothering
frustrated.
Me more than you now.
I'm not sure
I may
about
be
that.
Taking the lead. But Marcus Erickson throwing in some humor in this debate. I think we should get T.O. and Ocho Cinco in here and run some crazy 8-receiver setups with everyone on the field.
Well, maybe you could put T.O. and Ocho Cinco at offensive tackle.
True.
Hey, mix it up.
That could throw the defense off guard. Good luck in pass protection. But you never know.
Oh, man. 201-939-4513. All right. Folks, I'm not sure if we're having a phone issue here, but if you're on the air and you hear us go to you and you don't hear Lance and I, just finish your point, finish what you're saying, and then we'll pick up where you left off. All right? So let's go to Ed in Maryland. Ed, you're on the line. What's up, pal?
Ramses Barden, guys. Ramses Barden. Let's play him, guys. Just joking.
I hear you.
As far as the game yesterday, can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Hello?
Yeah, Ed, we got you. Go ahead.
Yeah, Eli Manning, I was going into this game yesterday, and I'm like, Asante Samuel, that Eagle No More is on the Falcons. One thing we got to watch out for is Asante Samuel. And I'm like, I'm a fan watching my game and just knowing this going into the game. Eli, they get paid all this money, they watch film, they know what to expect. When he threw that first pass of the game and threw a pick to Asante Samuel, and I'm like, Samuel only likes to jump short routes. He doesn't play the deep ball. And I'm like, if Eli's ever going to even think about throwing to a side, hit him deep on a double move or something. You mean to tell me on your first pass? I was turning off my TV, though, at that last play. His first pass of the game was a short route to Asante Samuel. How many times have we seen Asante Samuel pick off Eli on the same type of short, big route, in route, and he reads his eyes and picks the ball like it's a rookie quarterback? That was so embarrassing. From that moment on, the game was downhill. It wasn't really much of a blowout. I mean, it was 34-0, but 17-0 at halftime. We had so many chances to at least get a touchdown, get a field goal, make it a two-score game. And another person that I want to blame is Lawrence Tynes. For the past three games, he's missed chip shot field goals.
That's fair.
He's had a crazy season making all these field goals. But I just knew at one point, Lawrence Tynes would go back to old Lawrence Tynes and miss extra points. Missing 20-yard field goals.
I mean, that's not fair. I mean, look.
I don't know what to expect from the Giants. Lawrence Tynes is also a big reason. Had we gotten that field goal at 14-0, made it 14-3, that would at least give us some hope to at least try to, you know, stay in the game. But him missing a 30-yard field goal, I don't blame Coughlin going for it on 4th-and-1 because I'm tired of field goals. I'm tired of field goals. But my thing is, though, with the Giants, why always wait until 4th down to go for it or 3rd down? Why not just keep the chains moving first, second, first down? Just stay at third down because it always seems like on 3rd down, the team blitzes Eli and he gets nervous, throws off his back foot, pass incomplete, we have to punt the ball. Like, I mean, the play calling is just so predictable. If it's a pass on 1st down, it's a run on 2nd down. If it's a run on 1st down, it's a pass on 2nd down. It's just never like a stream of play calls that keeps the defense off balance. It's always the same. There's a basic methodical offense. There's nothing different. It's the same play caller. That was strong. I mean, just like that last caller said, 34-0 Super Bowl champ. Everybody's expecting this to be a big game, and you get set out. That's so embarrassing. And now, as it stands now, I think we're the 9th seed in the playoffs, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Or 8th seed.
Yeah. Yeah, Ed.
I mean, I don't know how we make the playoffs there on now, because I was just saying we have to win these last three games to get in.
And all right, I appreciate the call, man. Thank you very much. And you're right. The Giants had to win the last three games to get the wild card. And look, I mean, I think a lot of what Ed said was on the money, to be honest with you.
Well, he mentioned Asante Samuel first, who clearly has familiarity with the Giants based on his days with the Eagles, and he has been a Giant killer.
But again, that pass was late. If Eli throws that on time, he doesn't get the pick. That pass was late. He waited for the guy to turn around, settle for a couple seconds, and then he went to it.
So he made it easy for Asante Samuel, essentially. Second point he touched on was Lawrence Tynes. I disagree slightly with that. Tynes has been clutch. I mean, let's not forget, he's made some huge field goals.
He has a good track record. Lawrence Tynes can be my kicker any day of the week.
It's hard to hit the panic button now that he's had 3 straight games with misses. Yes, you know, given how successful he's been early on the season, it's a little bit troubling, but based on the law of averages, things tend to balance out over the course of the season, and you eventually knew that Tynes was going to cool off. And third, Ed brought up the fact that they're taking all of their chances on 3rd and 4th down. They need to be better on 1st and 2nd down. I agree, but it's not as if they're not trying on 1st and 2nd down. The goal is always to be in manageable 3rd and 4th down situations. Unfortunately, yesterday it just didn't work out that way because of the fact that Eli Manning wasn't on the same page with his receivers. It's as simple as that.
All right, guys, we're going to try to go through you really quick here. One quick comment, then one quick question if you have one, and then Lance and I will go. So we're not going to be able to interact, like I said. Just make your point, make your comment, give us your question, then we'll move on. Let's go to Juan down in Philadelphia. What's up, Juan?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, listen, my problem here with the Giants, and it's every year constantly these guys do this to themselves, especially Eli. Eli always tends to throw the ball where he's always getting pressured, where he should just take the sack. Take the sack and stop throwing the ball away, where these guys get the picks and they have an easy way to get a touchdown. If you're throwing it too close to the red zone, throwing a pick like that is gonna cause us the game, and the other team is going to get momentum. Second of all, the defense. Hurry few. If you know your 4 guys up front is not pressuring and is not getting to the quarterback, you need to start blitzing. And he doesn't do that. He always depends on the 4 guys on the line. He needs to start getting some more blitz and start changing the defense a little more, because our D-backs back there are getting killed, especially Corey Webster. Somebody needs to talk with Corey Webster, you know. And That's been the problem this year. Our defense has been letting too many big plays go down, and we need to start doing a little more pressing and stop giving these wide receivers a lot more comfort there for them to do those quick slants. And I really don't know, every time we got to put ourselves in this situation where we have our backs on the wall, and I just feel like we are going to come through next week, but the Eagles are the ones that are really scaring me at this time, and they might mess up our chances to get into the playoffs.
All right, well, I appreciate the call, man. Thanks a lot. 201-939-4513. And you can hear the frustration in Giant fans because they've seen the team play so well, like you mentioned, Lance, against the 49ers, against the Packers, against the Saints. They've seen the Giants come out and play their A game, but they just don't do it consistently. And I think one thing we saw this week, and I know I mentioned this off the top, haven't really mentioned it since, they get turnovers. This Giants defense has feasted on turnovers this year, and when other teams protect the football, the defense looks downright ordinary, and I think we've seen that the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, the defense gets worn down because teams win the battle in time of possession, just as Atlanta did yesterday. They're on the field too long, and if you're not getting to the quarterback, as Juan just alluded to, you leave your secondary out to dry. And I know he mentioned that Perry Fuel should be a little bit more creative and bring maybe a safety or a corner up to blitz, but remember, it's a catch-22. If they can't cover down the field, if you want to take a corner and a safety and bring him to the line and blitz, if he over pursues, now you're one man down the field. And what are you going to do? You're going to wind up giving up more big plays. So it's really a troubling situation. The bottom line is the Giants need that front four to do its job all by itself. You can't get that creative at this point. It will be interesting to see whether or not they can win and outmuscle that Ravens offensive line, because they're absolutely going to need to do that.
201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Russell's in Fort Knox. What's up, Russell? How are you?
Yeah, what's going on? I say the running game. Yesterday, Dave Wilson only had 55 yards in running altogether. So I'm pissed off at the game. I'm kind of mad that the Giants lost 35-0. Yeah, there's a lot of issues, but we still got two more games left to play. The Cowboys play the Saints. They could lose that game. We don't know what's going to happen. It's a three-way tie. Let's not panic that quick, because people will lose games. You know what I'm saying? So let's get Bradshaw back. Let's just play this Baltimore game. Take it one game at a time. Don't get pissed off, because the Giants could go to the playoffs and start winning everything, and they could be right back at the Super Bowl. So let's not panic just yet. Yeah, we lost the game. It happens. I mean, people get blown out. The Patriots lost to San Francisco last.
Russell, I like it. Russell, I like it.
See what they do at Baltimore.
All right, appreciate the call, man. And Russell, I like your level-headed look at this team.
Because
you're right. To a certain extent, this is very similar to what this team has done in the past, and they've shown they can come back and they can play well, and they can make the playoffs and make a run. And I like the other side of the coin here. But it's hard to be positive coming off a game like that. 34-0.
But
tough.
Part of me feels, John, and I know I said this leading up to this game against the Atlanta Falcons, the inconsistency of this team somehow still makes them so dangerous. And the reason I say that is because you really don't know, as an opponent going up against the Giants, which team is going to show up. It's almost as if this squad can catch anyone off guard on any given Sunday. The Ravens probably right now are going to look at the film of the Giants the last couple of weeks, and they're going to say to themselves, boy, we don't even know which team's going to show up. Is it going to be a defensive unit that's going to be opportunistic and make Joe Flacco pay for all of his mistakes, or is it going to be a defense that is going to allow the ball to be moved against them? It's very interesting to see which squad shows up from week to week, and that's, to me, what makes it so mind-boggling yet so intriguing to watch this team.
Intriguing is one word for it. That's one word. 201-939-4513. Let's go to our good pal, Patrick, out in Chicago. Patrick, welcome. How are you?
Good morning. I know we're stuck for time. Thanks for taking my call. That last guy beat me to the punch, John. Dallas are riding the luckiest streak in the NFL. Everything is going their way. Bounces, drop passes, everything. Dallas and Washington are going to knock themselves out. The Giants got humiliated, embarrassed yesterday. That should be motivation enough for them. If they're not motivated after yesterday, everybody is calling them out today. The pride will kick in this week. They're going to beat Baltimore. Philly, to me, you know, I think that's going to be a win. So I'm still confident. Eli threw two picks to start the last two games, got us off in the bed, but we recovered against New Orleans. We didn't recover yesterday. But the big picture is we're still alive and kicking. We just need more sacks. sacks. We need to put the quarterback on his back, and the real Giants front has to show up. And after that, we'll still get to 10-6, in my opinion. And it's fair game after that. So I still think we have a fighting chance. Thank you.
Patrick, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it.
Saying not to hit the panic button. And understandable, given the track record of this team last season. They're actually a game better than they were, John, at this point last season. They were 7-7.
Right, but in a somewhat similar situation in terms of the playoff chances. Control your own destiny, win your last two, you get in. Granted, again, you got to play the Ravens instead of the Jets. That's a little bit tougher. And they were win out and you win the division last year. You know, this year, win and you get the wild card. The division already somewhat out of reach for the New York Giants. So there is a bit of a difference from this year to last year. You know
and
what I'm saying?
This could be the second straight season, by the way, where the division is up for grabs in the final game of the year. Last year was Giants-Cowboys. It could very well be Cowboys-Redskins in Week 17 to determine who wins the division. But as some of the previous callers pointed out, Cowboys have the Saints this week, and the Saints mathematically very tough for them to even think about the playoffs now. But they're a very dangerous team given what Drew Brees and company can do on offense, so that's going to be a tough game for Dallas at home. The Redskins have the Eagles. Eagles clearly are an unpredictable team, but a lot can happen. As you know, teams that excel one week can really come out stagnant the next week. Look at the San Diego Chargers, for example. Not that they're a playoff team, but they beat up the Steelers and then got killed by the Panthers the other day. That's sometimes the NFL. It's very hard to figure out teams week to week. There's a lot of teams, just like the Giants, who are up and down and up and down. It's all about can you put a streak together in the final stretch to at least get into the tournament. Because if the Giants get into the tournament, Giants fans know they can create a stir.
201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Let's get back to our phones. I'm hoping we have our phone issues fixed there. Sorry for dropping you guys off the line there. But let's go to Andre down in Virginia. Andre, how are you, pal? How are you this morning?
Hey, guys. Hey, listen, it's a lot of negative talk today, and I understand why, because we lost horribly.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, it's about time to move on to the positive. What's done is done. And my comment as far as Pete that called earlier, you know, find yourself another team. Really. And if you're going to talk about the way about our team, then find yourself another team. But bottom line is that we have – this is the worst, my opinion. We have played the worst game of the year. All right? So on a direction to look is up.
That's true.
We got two games left. We get into the playoffs. It's a whole new season, a whole new ball game, and people talking differently. And that's all I got to say. Y'all have a good one.
All right, Andre. Appreciate it. Take that, Pete. I believe that was Pete.
Fighting words between the
callers.
Where was
Pete? Pennsylvania? I think Pete was in Pennsylvania, right? Oh, and Pete took a shot at Eli Manning,
true,
by the way.
That stirred.
And you know what, though?
A little bit up.
And he said so many things. Last night I didn't actually get to that. You can't say he's not Ben Roethlisberger, okay? You know, Ben Roethlisberger and Eli Manning are extremely similar. I'd put them right on the same level, to be honest with you. Both guys, two Super Bowls. Both guys maybe not the out-of-this-world regular season stats of a Brees or a Rodgers or a Brady. To me, Eli and Roethlisberger are, you know, side-by-side, neck-and-neck in terms of – quarterbacking skill, you know?
And Roethlisberger's having a rough season himself, if you look at how the Steelers have performed. Granted, he's been hurt and he's missed a couple of games, but, you know, yesterday he threw that pick to Brandon Carr in overtime where, you know, probably that wasn't the smartest pass to make in that situation, and he's had some games earlier this season where, you know, some of his decisions have cost the team a win or a loss.
All right, folks, we got three people on. We're going to have one more person on the line here. That's going to be four total people on hold. I'm going to cut the phone lines off there. We'll take these final four calls. Lance and I will go through the picks over the weekend real quick, set the playoff picture for you a little bit, then we're going to say goodbye. I know we could take your calls all morning. We'd love to. Unfortunately, there are other things we got to get working on. And Lance will be, of course, here tomorrow morning from 9:30 to 10:30, taking your calls then as well. 201-939-4513. Matt's all the way down in Waco, Texas. Good morning, Matt.
Hello.
Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah. Hello?
Matt, go ahead, Matt. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry. I keep on hearing this little thing disconnect on me. But I'm about to get a little Stephen A. in this talk room, all right?
Okay.
If I was Tom Coughlin, Eli would be on the bench next game. I'm tired of seeing Eli coming out there and embarrassing the Giants the way he has been this year. Okay, I give him that he carried the team last year.
That's almost better. He can't hear me.
Whatever. But you're a professional quarterback, man. That's your job. secondly, I talk highly about Daron Hosley.
Are you serious?
What a disappointment, and how far my foot
you
is in my
bench
mouth.
Eli
I can't
Manning.
Even begin how to
it's better he can't
get
hear
out of my mouth and talk to you guys. I understand how I am talking.
Yeah, it's
however,
crazy. That's how you're talking.
The only
you're nuts.
Thing else I want to say on top of that,
bench
man,
Eli Manning.
Is
boy, this is great
it's
when the callers can't
go,
hear you. It's more entertaining that way.
We just pretty much told the Dallas Cowboys and the Redskins, good luck in the playoff, guys. Represent hard for the NFC East, Redskins or Cowboys, when you get to the playoffs, guys.
All right, Matt, I understand you're in Cowboys country down there in Waco. I suppose that's Dallas country, Texas, whatever. But bench Eli Manning. You're right, you are in Stephen A. Smith land. And much like I don't want to listen to First Take, I don't want to really listen to that either. I mean, geez, bench Eli Manning. I understand he's had a couple of bad games this year, but it also comes down to Hakeem Nicks being hurt, the offensive line being banged up, the running game not being that consistent this year. Was this pass game more on Eli than on something else? Sure. But to say Eli Manning's been embarrassing the Giants all season, I mean, relax. I'm sure you liked Eli Manning when the Giants put up 52 points last week against the Saints. I'm sure you liked Eli Manning when he put up the 40 spot on the Bucks when the defense couldn't stop them from marching up and down the field. I'm sure you liked Eli Manning against the Cowboys when he put up 30-some points and didn't allow the Cowboys to come back in that game. Let's relax.
The Giants actually just released their new depth chart. David Carr is starting next week, and Ramsey's Barden is taking over the number one wide receiver spot. Giants fans, the team has responded.
Oh,
the
boy.
Team has answered your calls.
Oh, man.
Clearly, getting back to a more serious note, the Giants are in a much better position to win football games with Eli Manning under center. I think I'm stating the obvious there. The fact that I even need to state that makes me feel kind of stupid this morning, but I think it goes without saying that anybody is crazy to say that the Giants are not in a good position to win if Eli Manning is out there, regardless of some of the mistakes he's made over the last couple of weeks.
Derek's in Atlanta, Georgia. Bring some sanity, my friend.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing well. Doing well, man.
Good, man. Imagine being a Giants fan down here in Atlanta right about now. But, you know, the Giants, man, we just so inconsistent. We played from one game to the next. And, you know, I think the Falcons kind of felt disrespected the whole week and just didn't feel like the Giants came to play. What you guys thought on that?
Hey, look, I mean, I think the Falcons, Derek, certainly had a chip on their shoulder for this game. They were a little annoyed over the playoff game last year when they got really embarrassed by the Giants.
Rightfully so.
And got shut out, and now the Falcons shut the Giants out this year. I think they're also tired, frankly, of people discounting them during this week, saying, oh, the Falcons aren't for real. They've played a soft schedule. And, yeah, their schedule has been soft, which is a fair criticism. But you can only play the teams that are on your schedule, so that's your answer to that. The Falcons certainly were, I think, upset, a little cranky,
chippy.
A little snippy. And they came out and they said, Giants, Super Bowl champions, guess what? We clinched our division. We're 11-2. We're going to teach you a lesson here down in Atlanta.
And they did. And you can't blame them. There was a lot of motivation on that side, and I think that the Falcons proved it. They backed it up. They backed up their talk. They out-muscled the Giants. They made a big statement to the media, to the rest of the league. They wanted to quiet all the skeptics, though at the end of the day, Atlanta needs to do damage in the playoffs to really quiet the skeptics.
Correct.
But this puts them in a better position to lock up the number one seed, get a bye, and make sure that the NFC playoffs go through the Georgia Dome.
And Derek, I feel for you down there in Atlanta. It's like Steve and our boy Stephen Allen down in Washington, D.C. a couple weeks ago. It's going to be a rough week at the office for our boy Derek. Thanks for the call, Derek. We appreciate it. 201-939-4513. Final call of the show. Let's go to Ann in Washington. Ann, good morning.
Yes, hi, good morning. And I will say that I'm a little bit concerned, and I'm a lot concerned. First of all, I don't think the fans deserve Eli Manning. I'm going to be honest. That's my personal opinion.
Wow.
Secondly, Matt, I believe that the coaches are at fault. I listened to Fox yesterday, and I heard what Terry Bradshaw said, and I totally agree with him. I think the coaching on the Giants is outdated, and I believe they did not put their quarterback in a good situation. I don't believe they prepared the team. And I wanted to know why they had a running back. I think his name was Lumpkin.
Yes.
Why in the world was he on the field when he's coming out, you know, out of off? He's coming off the couch, really. And I didn't understand that.
All right, Ann, appreciate the call. Thank you very much. I didn't hear Bradshaw's comments, but I'll comment on what you paraphrasing them in a moment. And in terms of Lumpkin, they had to use Craig Lumpkin. They lost Andre Brown early in the year to that injury. Ahmad Bradshaw had the knee injury. He couldn't play. Early in the year, Darrell Scott had a knee injury. He got put on IR. So you can go down the list of the running backs the Giants have had get hurt. The reason you don't see David Wilson in for every play is, one, his body, frankly, isn't trained at this point of the season to be in every play. He doesn't have the stamina for it. And number two, you saw it on the first play of the game. David Wilson right now is not a great pass protector to protect your franchise player, Eli Manning. So you saw it on the first play of the game. He read the blitz right. He tried to make a block. He got pushed right into Eli Manning's lap. And the Giants have more confidence right now in Craig Lumpkin to protect the quarterback. We've seen him do a pretty good job of that so far this year. And that's why I think you saw him on the field as much as you did. And the Giants were down big. They had to pass the football.
And the other factor is Wilson also contributes on special teams. So you can't afford to have him out there for every single snap or else he's going to be worn down and you're not going to have him have enough steam to return kickoff. So you need to preserve him in that regard.
And you also lose your big playability. If you got dead legs, his strength is his speed and making big plays. You don't want to wear him down either. But I think to a certain extent, and you're right, Matt in Waco, Texas, probably doesn't deserve Eli Manning based on his comments.
Yes.
But the rest of the Giants station does, of course.
Absolutely. A lot of people support Eli Manning. But, you know, this league also, John, is what have you done for me lately?
That's true.
And Eli Manning hasn't done much for this team lately. But that doesn't mean that every Giant fan should overlook exactly what he did the week prior or the season prior.
Yeah. Look, he had a bad game. It happens. Let's not try to throw Eli Manning off the GW Bridge here.
Drew Brees had a bad game, too, this season. You didn't see Saints fans all of a sudden calling for a their backup, Chase
Daniel. He had a couple. Yeah. He had the 5-pick game a couple weeks ago. He didn't play well against the Giants last week. And then the week before the 5-interception game, he didn't play well in that game either. So, you know, these big-time quarterbacks have rough times. And look in Dallas, Tony Romo. He was really bad early in the year. And now the last six games, I think he is 13 touchdowns, only 3 picks or something like that. So he's really turned his season around. There's an ebb and flow to the season. And you have to be able to take these little surges and, you know, these little ties when they come in and out.
And as a frustrated fantasy owner of Drew Brees, I have every right to be extremely hard on him. Anyway, we get back to the topic at hand.
I advanced to a Super Bowl in my league this year, despite the fact Robert Griffin III got injured.
So Vernon Davis didn't help that cause either?
His one catch for 4 yards? No, he did not.
Okay. Luckily, I wanted to clarify
luckily
that.
I did not require Vernon Davis to win that game. And actually, I've already won. I have Chris Johnson going tonight, too. So it was a pretty convincing win to head to the
You don't have to sweat out a Monday night game. Always nice.
Do we have final fantasy stats for this week, Melroy, or no? We do? Oh, I can send them by email. All right, we'll check that out. But first, our picks. And Lance had a banner week. You did an excellent job.
Told you that late rally.
By the skin of your teeth on a couple of games. But that doesn't matter. You got the job done. We went head-to-head on Steelers, Cowboys, and Redskins, Browns. You won both of those games with the Redskins and Cowboys pulling out victories. I lost both of them, so you picked up a couple games there. Both of us had the Saints beating the Buccaneers. I had the Bears beating the Packers. You had the Packers beating the Bears. So you pick up yet another game with that win.
Chipping away.
Both of us had the Ravens beating the Broncos. We were both incorrect with that game. And I think I might have tallied that incorrectly here. I think I gave us both wins for that game instead of losses. But upset special, you have tonight the Jets beating the Titans. I once again had another upset special correct with the Panthers beating the Chargers. Tell you what, I'm good at these upset specials.
Carolina has had a late surge.
They did have a late.
You've ridden them correctly.
I've gotten them a couple times,
yeah,
actually,
absolutely.
During this upset streak. And then our wild card, our Sunday night game, rather, both of us had the Patriots being the 49ers. That
they nearly
both,
pulled it off.
Both incorrect. So
what is that, a 7-game lead you had coming in, if I'm correct?
And it's down to 4.
There we go. You see? 2 more weeks to go, and potentially I could
technically
I'm not going to gain any more ground even if the Jets win tonight.
Technically, it's 4.5.
Correct.
Because if the Jets win today, it'll be down to 4. If the Jets lose, it'll be a 5.
But, you know, to take 2 games at worst off, that's not bad.
That's a really good job by Kirk Cousins, by the way, getting
tremendous
that win.
Job.
And the Redskins against Cleveland, the Cleveland Browns are not a bad football team. They went into Cleveland, put up 38 points,
yeah,
on a defense that's pretty good. The Browns' defense isn't bad. And Kirk Cousins threw for over 250 yards, if I'm not mistaken. Alfred Morris, clearly the Browns made it an imperative to slow him down. He only had around 80 yards, but it took like 25 carries for him to get there. So
he's their workhorse.
Excellent job by the Redskins. That is a heck of a win. Give Mike Shanahan, give Kirk Cousins, give that entire Redskins team credit. That is a big, big win down in Cleveland.
And a lot of people criticized Washington for taking Kirk Cousins in the draft after taking RG3 in the first round, saying, why do you need two quarterbacks? Well, look at what Kirk Cousins has done in week 15 after your star quarterback gets hurt, comes in, gives you that mobility factor, made a lot of plays with his legs, hooked up with Leonard Hankerson, really threaded the needle. If you had an opportunity to watch some of those highlights,
I did not.
Tremendous throws that he made down the field where if it was maybe an inch off, that's an interception. But some big-time plays for the Skins. They've won five in a row. They've really turned things around. Remember, it was only a couple of weeks ago Mike Shanahan was talking about evaluating for next season. They're not evaluating. They're talking playoffs right now in D.C.
So overall, Lance is now at 39-44. I am at 44-40. So the lead is at 4.5 games. So there you go. Not bad. Now, fantasy-wise, let's see here. Melroy said he sent out the standings.
Boy, did I take a nosedive.
You had a bad one?
Oh, man. That Bucks game just killed me.
Did it?
41-0. Who would have thought the Bucks wouldn't have scored anything against the Saints?
All right, let's see. The weekly winner, I believe it is Dan Salamone, the taxi squad. He's making a little bit of a late run here. Adrian Peterson, he's been riding Peterson hard the last few weeks of this year, and I figured stay away from him against a good run defense in the Rams, but I don't think anybody's stopping Adrian Peterson at this point. Roethlisberger gave him 19, 21 out of Andre Johnson. Big week for him. He had 91. Bob Papa put up an 85 spot, consistent across the board. He also had Andre Johnson in that game. Melroy with 78. I had a decent week with 64. Not great, but not terrible. Not a lot of touchdowns. I got a lot of yards out of guys, but I just didn't get a lot of scores. That can happen from week. Andy Dalton must have had more than 12 points.
He had two fumbles,
He had a rushing touchdown and a passing touchdown.
Yeah, but
not
you
to
lost
mention 125
four.
Passing yards. I want you to recalculate Andy Dalton. I think you missed his rushing touchdown.
John may have a point there, and I'm not going to be the first one to defend him.
I guess my question is, how many points do you subtract for a fumble loss? Two?
You lost 4 points. He lost two fumbles in that
game. All right. Do you know what? Maybe that's right then. I didn't realize I thought he only had one fumble loss, not two.
Two.
All right. Fair enough. Anyway,
just be content with the 64 and move on. All right.
Yes, that's correct.
There
all right, my
see.
Bad. I apologize for accusing you of wrongdoing, Mr. Murray. My mistake. 59 for Cross, 58 for Roman. Boy, I'll tell you.
Are we building up to this?
Lance, you at 52, you were right in the mix with, like, Howard and Roman and everything like that. It's not good, but it's not terrible.
Well, when your quarterback gives you 1 point, Josh Freeman, 4 interceptions against the Saints defense.
And Reggie Wayne, too, you figure he would have had a bigger week. Dennis, how about Peter? That's a good tight end selection out of you at 24 points. Excellent
you can't
job.
Go wrong when you pick tight ends who play the Redskins and the Broncos. Just a little word of advice for those of you who play fantasy. They're the bottom of the barrel against tight ends this season. The numbers show it.
Good call. Anyway, now, speaking of bottom of the barrel, bringing up the rear of the pack this week, is this the single worst performance we've had this year on a weekly basis, except for the week that Tino didn't submit a team? Huh? We had 1 week in the 20s. Well, Anita Marks came in with a thrilling 36 points this week in the fantasy competition. And that's with 17 out of Noshawn Moreno. Denario Alexander, goose egg. 4 points out of Owen Daniels, 2 points out of Doug Martin. That Buck game killed a lot of people. I had Vincent Jackson. He had 80 yards but no touchdowns, which isn't terrible. Carson Palmer. She's gone to that Carson Palmer well a couple times this year.
Throws more to the opposite team.
I don't know what she's doing with that. And then Marcus Coastal only gave her 6. You figure he would have gave you more points.
Well, he was the only one that didn't have a big game.
You know what? Colson's a good pick. Doug Martin's a good pick. You just have bad luck with that. But I will happily take her to task on the Carson Palmer selection. And then Ari Alexander, he's been good recently, but I got to admit, I thought about taking him against the Panthers' pass defense. I thought about it. I didn't do it, but
Panthers' pass defense is not bad. It's their run defense that's terrible.
How did Tino do? He had 57 points.
He got a donut, too.
Oh, he had a donut.
And notice how he picked the same wide receiver that his partner in crime did.
In fact, he had three of the same players. He had Doug Martin, Moreno, and Alexander.
See, we've got to look into that a little. That's a bit suspicious for me here.
They're in here Wednesday and Thursday. They're comparing notes. They're, working together here.
Tino got his team first.
All right. Remember he says that Tino submitted his team before.
All right. We
Ms.
may
Marks
need to
did.
Look into that. We'll see. I'm not sold.
Should I appoint a commission?
We may need to have some hearings this week. I suggest we use the auditorium here at the Timex Center.
Bring in witnesses.
There we go.
You know, Tino actually had a little mishap over the weekend. He cut his finger.
Really?
Yeah.
Was this in Atlanta or this was prior to Atlanta?
It was before he left for the trip.
cut his finger?
Yeah.
Is there a Band-Aid?
He missed the team plane. He had to fly down on his own.
Get out of here.
He had to go to the hospital. He didn't have stitches. He had it glued shut. There was a paper shredder incident. He was trying to unclog a jam in the paper shredder.
I take it he did not take it out of the electrical outlet before.
I'm assuming he left it on as well. Would be my bet. I honestly did not want to get into the gory details.
Thankfully, he's
Frank,
okay.
I'm not sure he wanted me to mention it on the air, but I did anyway. So there you go.
We need to fill some time eventually. So
no,
sorry,
Didino. Actually, we really don't.
No, we don't. But for that, we will definitely make an exception. You can tell him that person.
Anyway, but Paul's doing well. Everything's good. He got down there, did a great job on the post-game show and pre-game show as always. So it was good to have him down there in Atlanta.
He's a warrior.
He is a warrior. I was worried, though, if the Giants would have won, he likes giving those enthusiastic high fives. He probably wouldn't be able to do it with
that's true.
The
now,
it was his left
can
hand.
You describe the bandage? Was it like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Band-Aid? You know,
did he go for the
He-Man or the superhero?
It was Band-Aid. It was hardcore. It was like ace bandage wrap, and there was like this metal apparatus over the finger to protect it as well.
So a splint was involved, too, apparently.
I don't know if I would call it a splint. It was a splint.
So it was similar to the Dez Bryant?
I did not see the Dez Bryant splint, but I actually have that game on my NFL game rewind. Go to Giants.com to get that for the rest of the year.
See, the story would have been.
And I'll be watching that full game along with the full Redskin game later in the week.
The story would have been better if you would have just forgot about the paper shredder and you would have sold to the audience that he was watching game film leading up to Friday evening and the tape fell on his hand.
Film and he had to cut the film and he was cutting it with the razor blade.
He went old school.
Exactly.
Trying to shovel it in the machine.
I guarantee you there is a projector somewhere in the Tino household. There's no question.
That would have sold the story. That would have taken it to a whole new level.
See, honesty never pays off. Is that the lesson here, Les?
Yes, basically. That is the lesson to take away.
All right, your final thoughts as we waste the last 5 minutes of the show here. Your final thoughts on Giants and Falcons looking ahead here. Giants take on the Ravens next week.
Well, to put things in perspective, it just is another example of how unpredictable and up and down this team is. I think that's what Giants fans need to take away from this game. That doesn't mean the season is lost. That doesn't mean that they can't pull a 180 next week against the Baltimore Ravens.
But you have no answers.
I really am lost as much as I was a couple of weeks ago. But the troubling aspect here.
Me too.
Is that we brought this up last week, John. The Saints game was impressive to put up 52 points. I'm not taking anything away. But you couldn't overlook the fact that they had extremely beneficial field position and they had turnovers. You take both of those things out of the equation, then you're left with a Giants team that has to work a little bit harder for the points, has to work a little bit harder for the defensive stops, and they get worn down, they get tired, and the level of production takes a dip. So my concern in these last two games is if you're not aided by special teams and you're not aided by turnovers, is it going to be a duplication of what was showcased yesterday? That would be my biggest fear for this team moving forward, regardless of the talent that's out there.
You have good and you're bad here. The good is that the Giants can still make the playoffs, and they will make the playoffs. They control their own destiny. If they win their final two games, they get the wild card. Here's the bad. You have to play better football. And this is what I zeroed in on last year after the Redskins game, and I'll zero in on it again. Winning, losing, whatever. Play better football. Eli Manning, play like you know how to play. Defensive lineman, make some plays, please. One sack yesterday by Chris Canty. Where are the defensive ends?
Need more pressure.
Make some plays. I can't say anything about the wide receivers. You know, Akeem Nicks is banged up. Then he's going to not get better till next year. And again, we're not trying to take shots at Akeem Nicks, by the way. He's being tough. He's playing through an injury, doing the best he can. The fact of the matter is, though, he's a bad wheel. And it happens in football. It's an injury. He's playing through it, one of the toughest guys on the team.
And it's not going to get better overnight.
It's not going to get better before the season's over at this point. It's just not. He needs rest to get that thing better. Unless he gets it, it's not going to happen. Playoff picture. Like I mentioned, the Giants win their last two, they're in. If they win their last two and the Cowboys and Redskins each lose one game, remember, they play each other head-to-head the final game of the season. So best-case scenario, I guess, for the Giants would be for the Cowboys to lose to the Saints, then beat the Redskins the final week of the year, because you figure the Redskins are going to be Philly next week. So that's something you can take a look at if you're a Giant fan. Need help, though. If they only split these last two games, the Giants need help. And they need a decent amount of help, too, with Minnesota at 8-6, the Bears at 8-6, and the Seahawks at 9-5. Minnesota, tough game at Houston next week. Tough final game at Green Bay. That could be a problem. You figure the Bears will beat the quarterbackless Arizona Cardinals. Granted, the Cardinals did find a way to smack the Lions around this
week. Matthew Stafford had a very rough game. Their defense
won that. I don't know how that happened. And then the Bears had to play the Lions the final week of the year. Both games on the road, by the way. Tough. Seahawks final two games at home.
And the Vikings right now are the sixth seed.
Yeah, correct. The Giants can clinch a playoff spot this week if they win and everybody else on the face of the planet loses their game, which obviously is unlikely, but it is a possibility as we move forward here.
Cards could fall into place, but it's going to be very tough for that situation to play out. I would assume this is going to come down to week 17. I'd be very surprised if it doesn't.
The Giants never do it easy. They make it entertaining. They make it fun. They make it heart-wrenching. We've seen it go both ways. 2009 and 2010, it went bad. Last year, and what about as good as it can go? We'll find out in the next 2 weeks what's going to happen this year. 201-939-4513. You guys did a great job on the phones today. Great job on Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat. Big Blue Kickoff Live comes your way every weekday morning at 9:30 right here on Giants.com. Lance will be with you tomorrow. Anita and Paul on Wednesday and Thursday. Lance and I back on Friday. Everybody have a great week. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning. And keep the faith. It's a long way to go.
Have a good one.